today on Real Radio.
He was not only God, but he taught us that a man, that a woman can become spiritually healthy by ingesting and knowing the Word of God. It's the greatest asset you possess in this world is your Bible.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Church Jesus Style, Part 2, continues in a series entitled Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5 today. You know, we cannot be saved from our sin just by being good or obeying the law. We can only be saved by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior and only Him. In part 1, we discovered that the church, Jesus style, is a church that's committed to the spiritual welfare of others, a living and loving body of believers, not bound by the law, but a church who is taught by God to love one another as Christ loved us. A church, Jesus style, is also one that actively cares when others are overtaken with sin, because spiritual restoration is the very nature of our ministry. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that we need to know God's will for our lives. We've been entrusted by God to bear our own load, while still laboring together with other believers for the cause of Christ. And now, continuing in his lesson called Church Jesus Style, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We need to be real. Jesus was real. I love the fact that everybody who were sinners were attracted to Jesus. What an honor! Could it be that God wants this place to be spiritual so sinners are attracted to this church? Wouldn't it be horrible if they drove by the building and said, boy, whatever it is, I don't ever want to go there. Well, then tear the stupid thing down. Verse 3 teaches us this, if we're going to have a church Jesus style. Our third point is in verses 3 and 4, and it's this, that the family of God needs to be spiritually healthy. That comes one way and one way only, and it begins with the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. When we hear the Bible, we are to then act upon the Bible. By and large, not always. We have a wonderful professor that attends, I think, second service here, wonderful guy. But by and large, the ivory think tank palaces of the theologian is a quiet, well-managed, predictable realm. There's no anomalies. Everything's perfect. And they write their books, and that's great. But you got to come out of that place someday and experience real ministry and real people. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't suspend himself in a cloud and throw over the edge of the cloud chapter verses of the New Testament? Aren't you glad? Here's another one. Read that one for a while. He started the whole thing by living it out before witnesses. He was not only God, but he taught us that a man, that a woman can become spiritually healthy by ingesting and knowing the Word of God. It's the greatest asset you possess in this world is your Bible. Well, what does it do? How should the spiritual healthy family look like? It should look like this. Verse 3 tells us it should look honestly at itself. It has an honest view of itself. Look what he says. Verse 3, for if anyone thinks, listen, if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Isn't that great? Say, what do you mean? Paul he's speaking in the context of the restoration of a brother. If there's somebody around the church who doesn't want the brother restored, that guy's messed up. His day's coming when he'll want people who are gracious. Paul is saying, if anyone thinks himself to be too lofty to minister to those that are in need and bear their burden, they're too much gifted. They're ordained. They're licensed. They're certified. They're a doctor. They're a professor of theology. We theorize things. You people do it. apathetic. Paul says, if a man thinks that way, if he thinks himself something, and I love what Paul says, when he's nothing, he's saying this, why would somebody have a big head in ministry? Why would a Christian be puffed up? When in reality, we're all a bunch of sinners saved by grace, that Jesus died for the whole world. So why would he think himself to be something? Oh, you're going to hear why in a moment. The man has left off from having an honest view of himself. How does that happen? You see the word deceive? He deceives himself. Can you mark that word deceive? It's dangerous. You want to know why? Every one of us are tempted by this. Here's the meaning of the word. It means to mislead your own mind, to fool yourself into thinking ill, to create a false reality, to preach a message to yourself about yourself. Aren't I great? Wow, I'm so glad I know me. In fact, the more I get to know me, the more I get to love me. I'm a legend in my own mind. And that's exactly what happens. When a person loses the reality of ministry to people, which keeps you real, when you get out of that place, you begin to lose it. And you begin to not be able to relate to people. You stay in your little spot, and you have no appreciation for an honest view of who we really are. Every one of us. Jesus died for us. Every one of us. Okay, honestly, if some guy over here has only racked up 10,000 sins in his life, and this person over here only 3,000, does it matter in any way regarding the death of Jesus? Now, according to the Word of God, Jesus would have come and died for one sin. It was really one sin. Isn't it interesting? Jesus himself said, all manner of sin shall be forgiven you in this world, but he who commits blasphemy of the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven in this world, nor in the world to come. To commit blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is to live your life never having given your heart to Christ, and to die in this world, to die and never accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Jesus died for all manner of sin, but there's one sin that a man can create that prevents, as it were, nor will it overflow or overrule or somehow change this man's thinking. If he says, you know what, that's fine that Jesus died, but not for me, and I'll talk to God about it when I get there. You will be lost in eternity. Watch out if you don't have an honest view of yourself. A healthy view. It's very dangerous. In fact, you'll even pollute a church and ruin any chance of its spiritual health. Also, we see this in verse 4, that we're to be judging ourselves. He says, but let each one examine his own work. Boy, this is heavy. Wow. You know what an assayer is? If you find some material, you hope maybe what's in this, you take it to the assayer. And he pours acid on your find. See, what does that do? The acid consumes all of the other rock and all of the other elements that are around what might be hidden in the rock, gold. It will consume and cause to move away from the gold, and there's the gold standing or seated in its brilliance because of the acid test. That's where we get that term from. Oh, put them to the acid test. It means if you pour the acid on there, will he still be standing when the test or when the trial comes? Paul says, hey, let each person examine his own work. Now, this is amazing, because you know what it means? It means that I cannot examine your work. I don't have that authority. And your neighbor cannot examine your work. You have to examine your own work. Now, listen to this. This is very sobering. Paul the Apostle says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves as to whether or not you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Indeed, unless you are disqualified? Those of us who are Christians, the Holy Spirit will often say, check this attitude against my word. Check these actions against my word. Paul said the Christian who judges himself in light of the Bible will not be judged of God. This is powerful and only understood by the real believer. only I can take my life in the ministry that God is going and flowing out through me. I must present before his feet and say, God, examine this, please. I have looked at it, but I know from Scripture my heart is desperately wicked. I cannot know it. And so I ask you to know my heart. Is this the right path to move on? Is this the right decision to go forward with? God, what about this person or that staff member or that direction in ministry? God, I've prayed, I've searched, I've laid it out. Now speak. Am I saying this? Am I preaching that? Am I treating people a certain way? Or do I need to treat them some other way? God, speak to me. We must do this. The Holy Spirit will demand it so in our lives. Let me read something to you. R. Kent Hughes writes, and I love his books. He says, if God has chosen us as believers to be in his family, we cannot remain sinners or practice sin, but move forward toward holiness. That is a separated life unto God. It is an anomaly or an error to speak of the Christian habitually living in sin. The Christian may stumble or fall, but he doesn't live in it. God never chose us to continue in sin, but to deliver us from sinful practices. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has beforehand ordained for us that we should walk in them. That means every Christian, God has created a ministry and he wraps you in it. And as you move in this life, you're to be fulfilling that ministry. You say, well, what's my ministry? I can't tell you. You must find that out. What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life? Find that out. That will connect you to the ministry he's called you to. Christ gave himself for our sins, he says, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and to purify us as a peculiar people who are zealous toward good works. We ought not to delude ourselves into thinking that believing in Jesus Christ and not walking with him can be reconciled. The proof of this is that we become more like him the longer we live with him. That we approximate the character of Christ. If you live a life, he says, that is characterized by a pattern of conscious sinning, you're quite possibly not a Christian. He says, if your most cherished thoughts are thoughts like hatred, and you won't forgive someone, it may very well be true that you're not a Christian. He says, if you are committed to material things and you find yourself occupied with the great joys of self-indulgence, of clothing, of finance, of homes, of cars, of comforts, without regard, it may very well be that you're not a Christian. If the sensual things appease you and you are addicted to them. Pornography, he says, in the mind, let loose. And you think you're okay. You may very well not be a Christian, regardless of how many times you come forward or how much you cry. God has called us to be holy. And it's a process that begins from the moment that we know him on the practical side. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he declared us righteous to all those who would believe in him positionally. Did you know that? God sees you and I holy. But in a practical sense, if that's true, then I'm going to live a life by the power of the Holy Spirit that will bear witness to that reality in heaven. I cannot say that I'm declared righteous by God and live in a pornographic life or live a life that is obsessed with things when I don't care about the things of God. Serious, isn't it? He says if we do such things, we're deceiving ourselves. No wonder why I want to have myself examined before God in his eyes. But before I approach, he says, examine yourself. Now all of a sudden, it's very quiet in here, and we may very, very well now be thinking, you know what? All of a sudden, I think I want a spiritual person in my life now. Do you see? Perhaps a moment ago, you thought or viewed yourself so well off that a restoration was for a weaker brother. When all of a sudden now it comes home to roost that, you know what, even if my thought life is erring and it's happening on a pretty often basis, I need to check myself into the hospital of God and have him look at me. Will we struggle with sin? Yes. Will we have sin in our lives to the day that we die? Yes. But your and my ability to hate it should increase when it happens. I had a woman in one of the services today, I've lost count, and she was weeping because she discerned by virtue of the message that she's not as close to Jesus as she ought to be, and she's weeping. And she says, I think I'm so far from God. I think I'm so... And I looked at her, and I got to tell you, I took great pleasure in her tears. I don't mean that in a nasty way. I took great pleasure in her tears because you know what? She said, I could hardly understand her. She said, I think I'm lukewarm. And I said, well, I'll tell you one thing right now. You may be something. I don't know anything about it. But here's the deal. You're not lukewarm. You can't be lukewarm and shed hot tears regarding how close or how not close you are to Jesus. What happened was she's growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. She's closer to God than she's ever been. But you know what? She's not close enough for her liking. That's a good thing for you and I to always be hungry about. Thank God we're not the person we used to be. But you know what? He's working on our lives and he's drawn us closer to him. And we can't get close enough. This sounds nutty, but it works for me. I've got this little Yorkshire Terrier that many of you have seen from our Christmas photo. She owns our house. The world was created for her, she thinks. Well, listen, at about 4 a.m. in the morning, it never fails, she comes up on the bed. We've got to have a little stair because she can't get it up on the bed. She's got to go up the stairs. She's a tiny, dinky thing. From her shoulder to her foot is 2.5 inches long. She gets up there, and you can hear her feet. She goes. She runs on the bed, and it is the funniest thing because I have a tendency to sleep like this at that time of the morning. So there's this like little cutout right here in my armpit chin area. And she will come and throw herself against me. Just boom. And then it's real quiet. She'll go. And you know what? She does that. And I just go, God, make me like that with you. I need to be like that with you, God. Just bring, boom. Yeah, God. And she's in there. She's all cuddled in. It's the cutest thing. And I think, you know what? If that blesses me so much, God, I'm just certain that God would look at us when we desire to draw near to him and he'll draw near to us. You think he's going to push you away? You think he's going to shove you off? Not a chance. Go to him. If these things are a habitual practice in your life or there's some sin in your life, examine yourself before God and then go to him and ask for him. And he'll be faithful. We have a testimony. God is working in our lives. We have a testimony to share with other people. When he says this, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. This is an interesting word. We'll only be on it for a moment. A testimony, it means this, that you will have something to tell the world about which God has done in your life. That's what it means. He will be able to boast. The word in Greek is to boast. This Christian, this person will be able to, this church will be able to boast in the things that God has done. Paul did that all the time. Paul boasted in the ministries that came forth from his life, but he gave God the glory. There's a way to do it. Not to get your head pumped up, but to get your heart warmed up when God gets all the glory. When God's moving, people can get together and say, well, you know, my church, my ministry. Well, you know what? It may very well be your church and your ministry. But Jesus will not allow that kind of talk to continue. It's his church shed by his own blood. It's his ministry that the Spirit of God gives. It's not ours. We have only been entrusted to perform faithfulness, willingness in that calling. It's all of him. Finally, we end with this, verse 5. It's a family that works together. We are. In an interesting way. How so? Well, listen to this. Almost sounds like a little paradox here. A family that works together? Yeah, let's work together. Good. This is how it begins. It begins this way. For each one shall bear his own load. Mark that in your Bible. It looks like in some of your English versions that burden appears in verse 2 and burden appears in verse 5. That's not how it is in the Greek. It's burden, verse 2, and it's load, verse 5. The word load here in Greek means a pre-appointed weight, the proper weight, an ordained weight. In fact, the ancient Greeks used it in two ways. Actually, three ways. I take that back. Three ways. Number one, it is the weight of a soldier's backpack that he prepares to go into battle. That's a cool word. It was used in ancient Rome. Prepare your backpack for your necessities, not your amenities. You ever see a soldier go to war and he's got a microwave oven in his backpack? You know, he's got a little fingernail file and blow dryer and... No. He's got the necessities, not the amenities. He's going to war. He's got everything given him that's needed for success in battle, right? That same word is used in the ancient world for a pregnant woman. She's carrying a load, ladies. You know what I'm talking about? Because I don't know what I'm talking about. You got that baby hanging out there? And, you know, you're using him. Set your cup on there. It's kind of cool. Man, you're out there. And that's a load that you're bearing. Oh, yeah, it's a load. Yeah, but you know what? It's great because it's a load with an intent. It's a load with a purpose. It's a load that has a good ending. The same Greek word was used again regarding a freighter, a ship, carrying its designated manifesto of cargo, the proper weight. Now I see something very different than verse 2. The world, Satan, my flesh would have me be crushed and defeated. I'm supposed to run next to that brother who's crushed and defeated and lift it off of him. While at the same time, I have been given and you have been given an ordained burden in this life to carry through all your life. It could have been the events of your childhood. It could have been things that you're going through now. Maybe you found out this week that you have cancer. These are loads that no one can take from you. And let me say this. If you pray and ask God to heal you several times over and he doesn't heal you, then you know what? Listen, you need to hear this. You need to take a deep breath. You need to back up. And you need to tell God, Lord, now please give me the grace to carry this load through this life. Because obviously it's been appointed by you. And I will take this cross and bear it all the days of my life. But please, God, in such a thing, may your grace be sufficient for me. That's why it says, let every brother himself bear his own load. You got problems. I got problems. All God's children's got problems. And you know what? God has ordained it so. Do you trust him enough to take those cares that he has ordained you to carry and say, Lord, according to your promise to me in 1 Peter 5:7, I'm casting all my cares upon you, for you careth for me. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen to that?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Church Jesus Style, Part 2. Thanks for listening, and we know that life has its troubles, but we can take comfort in the fact that all things work together for good for those who love Christ. Church Jesus Style Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings God's gospel of grace to light, and we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And here's a special announcement. Pay real close attention to this one. You can get the uncut audio version of this series on the Book of Galatians for a gift of any amount by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Get your copy of the Galatians series, Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.